This is Amateur Logic, episode 202, for February 28, 2025. Amateur Logic is brought to you by ICOM. Whether you're chasing DX, experimenting with digital modes, or leading a local net, ICOM radios deliver crystal clear performance and seamless connectivity. Good evening. Welcome to another episode of Amateur Logic. I'm George.
I'm Tommy.
I'm Emil.
And I'm Mike.
And it's great to be back with you for a February show that just barely made it into February.
I mean, by moments.
We're like 2 weeks late on this episode, but various conditions all the way around just kind of postponed things here, but we made it. Everybody's here tonight, although Mike is looking a little blue there. Maybe not feeling it.
I apologize for the improvised lighting that I've dismantled one of the table lamps in order to help things out. But
looks like the guy from the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
So what's going on? You're not up there tonight. You're down there.
Yes, I am in East Florida, Fort Lauderdale, at the moment.
Oh, cool.
And then tomorrow I have to head a little north to Port Canaveral.
Cape Canaveral?
Cape Canaveral, yep.
Yeah. Cool. You going for a tour? Are you
going
launching?
For another tour.
Anything launching while you're there?
I don't believe so. I never really checked the schedule, but I don't believe there is anything going on there.
That's an awesome place. Have you been there before?
Only as a kid.
Yeah, it's fantastic. You'll love it. It's great.
The scale of things blew my mind away. I think I was about 14 when I last visited Cape Kennedy or Cape Canaveral. But the scale of things, like the buildings and the little, I don't even know what they call it, the little tractor thing that moves the, at the time it was a Saturn V rockets that were being launched.
Yeah, then
and
the show.
I think, if I remember correctly, it took a week traveling. That's how slow that little tractor went with the rocket from the building to the launch pad. I think it took about a week to get there.
Uh-huh. When I was down there, they had one of the space shuttles was out there to launch, but I wasn't able to stay for the launch, unfortunately. Yeah.
So yeah. The planets are supposed to be lining up tonight.
Does that mean we're going to have no bloopers or more?
I don't know. Can you see that from the porch, Emil?
Let's see. Let's take a gander.
Oh, you're inside tonight.
He's portable.
K5 QKR portable. Let's see. Looking pretty overcast from the porch, the cheap old porch. Let me go on this side.
What's that green stuff on the ground?
That's actual grass.
That's Mississippi snow.
Yeah, Mississippi snow. No, it's overcast. I can't see any stars out tonight, unfortunately.
Great.
Okay, well, I don't even bother looking here. Too much light pollution. Tommy, what's been going on, man?
First of all, I got my Chip Fan Club shirt on, my K9.
Yeah, you can't hardly read that.
Yeah, it's the best I got right now. K9 MIT shirt.
Yeah.
So, and also, I've been at home a lot. Got some projects going on at work. Been firing up the 3D printer.
Oh?
Yeah. You remember the little fish thing? I made myself a new
box for it. That's nice.
And also, the ICOM breakout board Tom sent us, I downloaded the box and I printed one of those for it too. Yes. So.
Man.
So I've been sitting over there a lot, so I just let the printer run. Took this thing like all day to print.
Looks good though.
Yeah. And you know what? I told you if you had a guy that had a 3D printer, they might print you one too. So, got Well, if I can open it. There's a fish thing in there, the screws for it and everything.
Oh, wow. You printed me one?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I appreciate that.
There you go.
That's cool. I only see one problem with your design.
It's not my design, but what's wrong with it? I downloaded it from Thingiverse.
Or maybe it fell out. There's a little lever that you flipped there.
Oh, look, it did fall out. What happened to it? It wasn't out. It's probably laying in the bottom of my bag. That stinks. That's ruined my device.
Wow, man. This is like Christmas.
What a swell guy, Tom.
And yeah.
I have my moments. They come pretty few and far between.
I mean, what resolution? Did you print that at anything higher than just generic?
It's kind of medium quality.
Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, the printer does a good job. Once I got my temperatures figured out on it. Hey, yeah. Sorry about all the blue. I've been trying to use up the rest of that roll of blue, so I'm going blue.
That's fine with me. No complaints, man. That is great.
Are you still printing mainly in PLA?
Yeah, so far. I bought so much of it when I bought the printer, trying to use some of it up. That blue, I actually dropped it. I was moving my printer, and it was still on the little rack that holds the spool, and it fell, and it got basically like a bird's nest in there, so I have to kind of like pull it loose when it gets bound up. So.
Been there, done that.
Just about to the end of that spool, though.
And that, my friends, it's why it's good to have a friend with a 3D printer.
I was waiting for that. The way George keeps playing his cards, he'll never have to buy a 3D printer ever.
Email, what's been going on down there?
Well, you know, we've actually had a winter this year.
No, we haven't had a winter.
We're not that we know what winter is, Mike, but we actually had what we think is a winter down this way. So we've been playing around in some snow, which you'll see a little bit later in my segment. And we've also been doing some winterish radio things, too, that some of our other long-term fans have been doing. So that's what's going on down here in the swamps.
Very cool. Well, I have been super stretched out for the last couple of weeks. My mother fell and broke her hip, so a lot going on there. She's in rehab now, so we're out of the hospital. But still, you know, pretty good ways to go for a 91-year-old. What have I been doing? Well,
yeah, what have you been doing?
Not a whole lot, but you know, I've got that remote SDR project that I keep teasing about that one day I'm going to show. And I just happened to make a visit up there this week. The thing was working great. And then a couple of months ago, I just had impulse noise that was just terrible, man. The noise blankers on the SDR Connect software would get it out most of the time, but not completely. It just kept getting worse and worse. So I made a trip up there, and I stopped by on the way at Walmart and got me a noise suppressor. And I took it up there, and I solved the issue.
At Walmart?
At Walmart.
Wow.
If you are having the same issue I was, these right here will take care of your noise. It's a BB gun.
Squirrels?
No, security lights that are no longer serviced, and the utility will not take them down, will not do anything with them. They're just there for eternity if they're not being serviced and you're not paying for them. They're just there generating noise. But I don't know. Mysteriously, they stopped completely a couple of days ago. No more noise.
Go figure.
Yep.
That was convenient for you.
So there's just a tip. I can't go into any more detail on how to use it, but you can probably figure it out. Oh, one other thing I wanted to mention. This shirt is courtesy of Mike. He got this for me a few years ago. It's a 4CX15000A iMac tube that two of my FM transmitters use this. The third one uses a tube that's the same size but a little higher spec. These things are kind of expensive. We get about 18 months out of them, typically. Sometimes maybe a couple of months more, sometimes many months less. Just depends. So we don't buy new ones. We have them rebuilt. They will cut it around the bottom there and pull the guts out of the tube and replace all the grids and filaments and everything and then seal it back up. But that can only be done so many times because that tube gets a little shorter every time they do it. Well, the company that rebuilds the tubes, there used to be one down there in Louisiana, Emil, but they closed a good many years ago. They were bought out by one of their competitors in California. Econco bought them out. Freeland Products was the name of the company in Louisiana that did the rebuilding. Then Econco got bought out by iMac.
Hmm.
And now iMac has been bought out a couple of times, and they just recently changed owners again. So to have one of these tubes rebuilt, and this is a little slightly bigger than the real tube, this shirt is. So, you know, it's a fair-sized tube. They used to cost $1,800 to have them rebuilt.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
Now under the new owner, they're $39.95 for a rebuild.
What?
Yes.
$39.95?
Not quite.
Oh, the, we got to move the decimal a little bit.
And these are like the only people that rebuild them anymore. I think there's one other small company that might, but I can't find anybody who's used them, so I don't know.
How much is a new one?
A new one used to be about $4,000, but based on this, I have no idea, but it's probably going to be close to $8,000. And you get like a year and a half out of it. So,
cost of doing business, I guess.
Our friend Jeff, W5PPB, mm-hmm. has the same transmitter. All the Continental transmitters are basically the same, but they will put different tubes in it depending on the power level. His uses a 4CX20000E, and he just got a price to have it rebuilt, and it was $6,000.
Wow.
So, yeah, quite expensive. So my tip to you amateurs who might have an amplifier that happens to have an iMac ceramic tube in it, you might want to look around and see if anybody's got some in stock and buy them now because they're not going to get any cheaper.
Wow. That's so crazy, man.
Email, you had a Facebook post that caught your fancy on an activity you actually participated in recently.
It did catch my fancy. And we have a long-time viewer wrote us in on Facebook with his post. W9KHZ David Richardson is a member of the Bluegrass Amateur Radio Society out in Lexington, Kentucky. They had their winter field day, which just so happens to be something we participated in, which you're going to see on my segment tonight. So I wanted to give him a shout out for letting us see what they do in their shack. And it's pretty neat stuff. We also had some of those same antennas set up and out in the field stations and you name it. So this is good stuff. We appreciate you, David Richardson. Thanks for watching. And thanks for sharing with us what you guys do. And it's great to see other people's adventures, if you will, and what's happening there. So pretty good video footage.
Yeah, I watched it, and it was, man. That club did a good job.
Yeah, the link to that will be in the show notes.
Yep.
And if I didn't say it right, it's W9KHZ. I think if I said K9, it's W9KHZ.
It looked like Winterfield Day, too.
Yep. And their club was K4KJQ, I think, in Lexington, Kentucky.
Okay. This was from Smoke and Solder on episode 15 of Ham Nation when I was doing that with Bob Hall and Gordon West.
15, wow.
Yeah, I didn't look at the year, but it was
probably
12, 13 years ago. When Hurricane Katrina came aground in Mississippi, I had a 5-kilowatt generator. Unfortunately, I hadn't been too good in taking care of it and keeping it maintained, so it let me down. It wouldn't crank. So I relied on 2 300-watt inverters that I had and used those with 2 vehicles. And that allowed me to run a notebook computer, a TV tuner card that I used with the computer, a small fan, and some lamps. When the electricity fails and you're left sitting in the dark, the first thing you're going to need is some kind of light source. And if nothing else, a candle or a flashlight. Either one will be mighty handy while you're trying to set up your emergency power. If you're lucky enough to have a working generator, there's a few other things you're going to need. Of course, some gasoline, a good supply of that. You'll also want some oil because a lot of these generators have pressure sensors on them, and they'll shut down if they don't have enough oil pressure. You'll also want some extension cords, that goes without saying, so you can get the power inside the house. Another item that will come in mighty handy if you got an extended outage is some kind of siphon pump so that you can pump more fuel out of one of your vehicles. One more thing I like to have on hand that makes the job a lot easier is some starter fluid.
Uh-oh.
Another good source of electricity during an emergency is batteries. You can use your car battery, of course. Be sure you've got some jumper cables, though, in case you run it down. Some deep cycle marine batteries are perfect for long-term power outages because they're designed to give their maximum power over a course of time rather than just cold cranking amps like a normal car battery would have. Also, jail cells are a good source of power. And UPS batteries. I like to save UPS batteries, although they might not have enough power left in them to run a 300-watt UPS supply. They'll do just fine for running a small radio, especially when you turn down the power to 5 or 10 watts. If you're using batteries, you're certainly going to need some way to charge them, and there are a lot of solar cell chargers available. You can also use a regular car battery charger for some batteries. You just want to be careful that you're using the right type of charger for the battery that you're using. Now, I found some 50-watt screw-in 12-volt bulbs. They look just like a regular house bulb, except they are designed to operate off 12 volts. Now, these come in great in an emergency. You can just screw them into a standard light fixture, and you're set to go. Of course, you're going to need some way to connect to your battery, and I've made up a little cheater cord here. It's got a couple of alligator clips on one end to clamp onto my car battery, and a standard AC outlet there on the other end. I can plug my extension cord in to go to the light. Of course, during any emergency, whether you're a ham or not, you're going to want some kind of radio. And these little crank-up radios you can find at the drugstore or various places work great because you don't have to worry about having batteries charged up and ready to go. You can just charge them as you need them. Now, these have NiCad cells in them, so those will eventually go bad. But it's a good source of news and information when you really need it. Now let's talk about power inverters. That's what I used during Hurricane Katrina. I had 2 300-watt ones, and those work great for powering the small electronics that I needed. Now, these don't give really clean power, particularly these smaller ones. We found that on 2 different models that the output voltage was only 101 to 102 volts. Also, the waveform that these generate is not a pure sine wave like you'd normally see from an AC outlet. These use a type of stepped or ramped voltage that's generated inside by the electrical components, and that's not a good clean sine wave, and there can be spikes on there. And you'll run into problems with these if you're using a power strip that has surge suppressors built in. It may be necessary to find a strip without surge suppressors, or go into the strip yourself and remove the MOVs or whatever's in there to do the surge suppression. Immediately after Katrina, my generator still wouldn't run,
And I had so much luck with the power inverters, I decided to buy a larger one. So I got this 1,500-watt inverter that's going to be great the next time I really need some decent power during an emergency, and my generator won't run. Now, you have to be careful with these because even when there's no load on them, they're going to be drawing more power from your car battery than you would have with a smaller inverter. You're also going to need large cables for these inverters. You'll notice here that I've used some heavy-duty cables like would go to a high-power car stereo. And I've got some clamps on the end of it that came off a set of jumper cables, so I've got a quick and easy way to attach it to my car battery. Now, I can't get a full 1,500 watts out with these clamps here. In that case, I would want to connect directly to the battery using a lug terminal of some type. Now, most amateur radios will run off 12 volts, and rather than use a power inverter and then operate a power supply to get the 12 volts for your radio, it's best if you just get the 12 volts straight from the battery, because everything you put in between the radio and the battery is just going to draw more power. The power inverter is going to use some because it generates heat. Also, your power supply generates heat and is not 100% efficient, so you're going to have some loss in there as well. So getting your 12 volts straight from your battery source is the best way to go for powering your HF or VHF rig. Now, there's one more source of power that many of us have available to us, and I tried this out on field day a few years ago, and it worked just fine.
Yeah, N5ZNO, this is W5JDX coming in loud and clear here. You're my first contact for field day. I am operating a lawnmower portable.
You'll want to use big cables to connect to the lawnmower battery and run to your rig. A smaller cable is not going to deliver the current that you need. Even if you're not a ham, everybody needs electricity in an emergency, and I hope some of these tips have helped prepare you for the next big event.
Some of that video was from episode one. I thought all that was in black and white. I didn't remember we were in color back then.
Yeah, we were. We were in low def.
Very low
definitely.
Def.
Was it Technicolor? I don't even know what Technicolor is.
Well, I don't think that was. No.
Boy, George, I bet your signal really cut through.
It did. It made it right through the weeds, man. Well, up next, Mike. You've been on like a very long vacation there, and you've had several activities you've been through there. Did you run across any hams on the way?
Well, I was representing with the hat, and I didn't have anybody come up to me directly, but on the ship, that I noticed in the program of events, there was a fellow who was giving a talk on amateur radio. So I sat in on that. It was very informative. It was more or less to get people that were not so well versed in amateur radio and how to get into the hobby. So there was lots of talk about how to get into the hobby and what hams are doing and what projects they're working on and that sort of thing. So it was pretty good. It was done by the name of a fella. From Ohio, John Creeley, W8TD, W8 Tango Delta, and he did a nice chat on that, and he also did some amateur astronomy videos as well, or I should say presentations, which were very informative, and those were two of his main hobbies, amateur radio and amateur astronomy.
Well, since the last episode, we've been to the local Jackson Amateur Radio Club here, or Capital City Hamfest in Jackson. I would say a heavy haul there. That is, what does that say? EcoFlow. EF Delta. Email, this is not brand new. That guy from Texas that comes around and has the tables, he's at all the big ham fest, and he's got all this surplus gear on it. He had a bunch of these.
You could stop trying to recover with
no. I want to hear it. $350. That's cheap now compared to what a new one would cost.
Cheap compared to what I paid for mine.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Let's talk about these batteries that there are lithium ion phosphate batteries that you purchased recently, Mel. Yeah. What's the price tag on those?
Yes. And by the way, this is an older model of this EcoFlow. This one has 18650 cells in it.
A ton of them.
Okay. A ton of them.
Lithium ion batteries.
But what was this thing? 1250.
It's like almost 1200.
Yeah.
I'm having bad connections, Mike. Bad connections.
The crucifix on the wall is not going to save you, Neil.
Yeah.
It's a really bad connection. I can't hear you.
Anyway, I picked that up at the Ham Fest. I thought it was a decent deal. Tommy, when I asked him for support, he twisted my arm. So,
like usual.
Yep. So
he would have done the same for me.
I went ahead and purchased it, and I've tested it out. I've put my electric radiator-style heater on it and run it through a cycle. And yeah.
I bought a 200-watt solar panel from the guy, but the last one, actually, when we got it out to the car, picked it up to test it, and it apparently had a bad connection, and it had a crack on the glass on the back side of it, so I ended up taking it back.
Yeah. Yep. So, anyway, that was just to go along with the power. I'm going to show you a little more about these. This is an older model. I don't know how old. Probably 2-3 years. I don't know.
Probably.
But doesn't have all the latest features and Wi-Fi interface and all of that. But it's got a lot of AC outlets on it, puts out a good bit of power, and it'll be suitable for what I want to do with it.
Going field day with it?
I'm going to field day with it. I'm actually going to hook up a scope to it and see how clean the power is coming out and do some other tests and just, show how I would test out one to see if what you got's working and giving you a decent output. But at the Hamfest, what did you buy? Anything?
I didn't buy anything this year. I bought the solar panel, but I thought kind of was held off or something like that, and then ended up taking it back. So I basically come out of there empty-handed. But I got some video.
You did get some video. Call La Friends.
Yeah, we got two pieces of video then.
Okay, let's take a look at the first one here.
All right, here we are at the Jackson Ham Fest, the Capital City Ham Fest, rather. Ran into some familiar faces here from Louisiana, from some of Emil's stomping grounds. I know your names, but I'm going to let you go ahead and say them on camera and your call sign, if you don't mind.
I'm Scott Kropog, N5WWY from Kenner, Louisiana.
And Pete Reno, N5NBC from Metairie, Louisiana.
And you're a sharp-dressed guy. George's got the swag on, too. I got it. I almost wore my ICOM shirt so I could show you guys that I looked as good leaving as I did when I got here, but I didn't bring it this time. Do you guys buy anything here?
No, not just yet. I'm still looking. I might find something that I can't live without.
Still looking around a bit.
Yeah, I neither. I made one quick pass through, and then we did a little video out there with Ray, and I need to look and see what I'm going to get. I hate to come out of here just empty-handed.
Oh, I know. You're right. There's always something that I'm going to need, but I just don't know about it yet until I see it. Right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to get anything unless you can figure out a use for it.
Yeah. It's a nice little ham fest. I see some empty tables, though. I don't know if they left already or if they just didn't fill it all the way up. But
there's a lot of good stuff out here now, I can tell you that.
Oh, yeah, it is. I actually... I need another mobile antenna for my vehicle, so.
There you go. Yeah, you can't have too many of those, right? You never know. You might want to operate on a different frequency, different band. You never know.
I like the one I got. I got a little Comet SBB5, I think it is, but I want a higher gain one.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. I got something similar.
You guys headed back today?
Yeah, we're going to head back in just a little bit. We're trying to figure out where we're going to go get lunch. So,
that's the most important thing of the day.
It's a very important thing we got to decide. If you have any recommendations, we'd be glad to have them from you.
Whatever you sell. Let me think about it.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, it's good to see you guys. You guys going to Huntsville this year?
Yes, sir. We'll be there for sure.
All right. I'm sure I'll see you there.
Oh, definitely.
Look forward to it.
Going to Huntsville.
Yep. Yeah, I saw the rain. I got a rain flyer, too. I'm planning on hitting that one this year if I can, if we work it out.
In March, I think it is. I think it's in March.
March 21st, 22nd?
I think we're going.
Yeah, so maybe I'll see you guys there if I can work it out.
We'll have to tie up Emil and make sure he comes.
Yeah, that'll work.
He was there last year. He was there. Well, he'll be there this year, I bet.
Yeah. I think last year's first year they had it since COVID, wasn't it?
That's correct. Yeah, I was there. It was a good one.
Yeah, I wasn't able to make it on that one, but I'm planning on doing this one if I can.
Excellent. Sounds good, Tom.
All right. See you guys there. Okay. 73.
Take care.
73.
Any ham fest I've been through in the last few years in the South,
they're going to be there.
They're going to be there.
Yep.
Always great to
just
visit
like
with
the
them.
Sun coming up. You can count on they'll be there.
So we're going to take a quick break, get a message from our sponsor, ICOM, and be right back.
Combining cutting-edge technology, unmatched reliability, and user-friendly design, ICOM's amateur radios are the gold standard for ham radio enthusiasts. Whether you're chasing DX, experimenting with digital modes, or leading a local net, ICOM radios deliver crystal-clear performance and seamless connectivity. With a legacy of innovation and commitment to quality, ICOM continues to set the benchmark for amateur radio excellence, making them the trusted choice for operators worldwide. Introducing ICOM's IC7760, the pinnacle of base station excellence for amateur radio enthusiasts. Designed to deliver unmatched performance, the IC7760 features state-of-the-art technology, exceptional RF clarity, and an intuitive interface, all housed in a sleek and durable design. The base station features a separate remote control head and RF deck, providing excellent flexibility for installation. Place the RF deck closer to the antenna feed point, freeing up space on your desk. You can also connect the control head to the RF deck through your home network, enabling remote operation from anywhere in your home without need for a PC. Pair the IC7760 with a powerful ICPW2 linear amplifier and take your contesting experience to the next level. The ICPW2 seamlessly integrates with the IC7760, delivering a massive power boost and enabling enhanced long-distance communications with DPD, digital pre-distortion, and a built-in 2x6 automatic antenna selector for SO2R single-operator 2 radios. Together, they define what's possible in amateur radio, setting a new standard for global connectivity and reliability. For more information about all of ICOM's great amateur radios, visit icomamerica.com/amateur.
Thanks, ICOM, for sponsoring Amateur Logic.
ICOM.
Yeah, appreciate them.
You got an email.
A real email. It actually came to you, but I'm going to read it.
That's good enough.
Okay. It says, this is from our friend Dennis in Alaska, KL7HRO. I hadn't talked to him in a while. Good to see he's still around. Said, I found the Pi 5 kit Emil bought off Amazon. I thought he was supposed to be cheap. That kit goes for just under $200. I didn't think that was a cheap item, being as he's supposed to be the cheap old man. Didn't seem like a cheap purchase. I'm looking forward to watching more videos by him on using his Pi 5, as I ordered one myself after watching the show. By the way, both of your shows are on Roku. I'm looking forward to going back to using Roku to watch your shows. I might have missed. 73, Dennis. So, yeah, Dennis has been around watching a long time.
He has.
Yeah, and you're right. That's not a cheap old man compliant item.
I think I might have corrupted several people on that one, because Dennis reached out to me on that one to get the link, and then you guys reached out to me on that one to get the link, so I must have struck a chord somewhere. Yeah. It wasn't a cheap chord.
We needed to have an affiliate link on the website, because I imagine you sold quite a few.
Yeah,
we both bought.
I bought one right away. And I saw today that Greg, you know, in Australia, sent the books this time. He said they got a 16 gig one out now.
16 gig Pi 5.
I guess when you look at it from a desktop replacement standpoint, it's a pretty fair deal, I think.
I would say it could be a desktop replacement. Yeah. Just from what little bit I've had an opportunity to use it.
When you're not editing video or something like that, it's fine.
Here's one tip, though, I learned, Emil, and you probably already know this because I think we've already discussed it. When I bought it, this is the same kit that you've got, but you notice the case is a little taller.
Yep.
On the inside there was no header pins there for the GPIO. It was just a bunch of holes.
Yep.
So they make a stacking header that fits down under here on top of the Pi 5 and comes up through here, so that you've got header pins available still. Now, a few of the pins are used by the by the M.2 hat, but most of them were available for your use. And I just wrote the guys, you know, the counter kit guys who made the case and the kit here, and asked them about it because they said you got a stacking header with it. And they said, oh, no problem, we'll send that to you because it wasn't in the kit. And they sent me the stacking header, and they also sent me a case extender here that makes it a little bit taller, so you've got room that you can connect to the header in there and snap your top back on it. And so it's a little bit taller, but you've got the whole Pi.
Nice. That's a great catch, George, and a good deal that they would honor that. Because, yeah, I do remember them saying it was part of that.
And Emil,
I got mine.
I'm going to redeem myself after that battery purchase. That part was free. I paid $200 for the rest of it, but this was free.
You might as well just stop while you're ahead. Tommy won hands down from this ham fest. So,
well, he did.
Well, I didn't come back with anything either.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, true. Tommy, what's your segment this time around?
It's not a typical segment per se, but we ran into Ray from ICOM at HamFest, and he had some cool toys there.
This was a very, very interesting toy. Yeah. I went to Jackson, Mississippi Amateur Radio Club HamFest here in Jackson, Mississippi, along with fellow Mississippian for the time being, Ray Novak. Hi, Ray.
Hey, George, how are you doing? You're a little bit, while we're close to the studio, this is a studio away from studio, right?
Well, it is. The studio is probably about 10 miles away from here. But this, you know, this is where all the big shows are done here at the Coliseum. And with you in town, we figured we needed a bigger venue.
And when you say we've got Tommy right behind the camera, too. So I've got both you guys.
Right. Now, see, you were expecting trouble, so you brought a yellow box with you.
Yes, sir. That way it's easily seen when it walks away.
What's in that box?
What I have in here is what we call our small business kit, utilizing a Wi-Fi network. The portables, we've got four portables, rapid chargers, a controller, the access point, and the necessary cables and power supplies for them. But what this allows you to do is utilize a Wi-Fi network and have full duplex communications. While we're showing this with four radios, this particular kit is expandable up to 100.
Let's take a look.
All right. So what we have here is the bag of wires and adapters. A little bit of protective material for the controller for the system. Like I said, it is expandable from these four radios to 100. And what this allows it to do is with 100 radios, you can have 50 simultaneous full duplex communications going on, or it could be one to many. Then we have the nice little portable radios. In the top, you can put a speaker microphone. This is a submersible waterproof radio package. Finally, we have an ICOM access point.
And so if we had a big location, would we use several access points with this?
You can use as many access points as you need to cover an area. So if you're looking at We've got one customer that uses it in a produce distribution center. So they have multiple cooling units. They've got a radio on the forklift, and as a forklift moves from outside the cooling unit to inside, which is basically like the studio, a Faraday cage, they've got an access point inside of it. They still have communications with it.
No rubber duck. Not needed at that frequency, I don't guess.
No, sir. We're using, I believe it's a panel antenna inside the radio itself.
Can we see this work?
Yes, sir. We'll experiment with it here at the show. You've got your WAN as well as your LAN, so this could be connected to the outside network. You can VPN back into it and then use any type of access point utilizing that VPN as a hotspot for the radios. So I could configure my cell phone to a VPN back to the controller and use my cell phone as a hotspot.
And so this is a Wi-Fi hotspot you're connecting to it now, the little white unit.
All right, George, one of the things we have here is these radios are pre-configured for this access point and this controller. So when we turn on the radios, upon power up, it's going to connect and load the configuration. The controller itself has an HTML type portal to reconfigure. So when we add radios to it, that's how you would reconfigure them. You can establish specific names for each of the radios and things like that in the configuration.
So I see the access point is 2.4 and 5 gigs here. So are the radios both?
Yes, sir, they are. And you can see the 5 gig on the access point is lit up where the 2.4 is not. So we're on 5 gig at this point. We're ready to go. This says talk group all.
Okay, what I did was put a little bit of separation between George and I and the microphone. That way you really don't get the echo and the feedback in that. But George, go ahead and key the radio and talk to me, and I'll continue talking. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Well, I still hear you, right? And apparently you hear me too, because you're still keyed up as well.
Yes, sir, I am. And just so get in the camera here.
Okay. So this is just for people who...
That they know not only how to push to talk, but release to listen.
Right.
So you don't have to release to listen at this point. Now, we can do this without having to key the radio, put it in full duplex mode. The radios have Bluetooth, so I can use a Bluetooth headset.
So if I wanted to talk with my wife on this and interrupt her, I could successfully do so at my own risk.
I don't know if that would be successful, but yes, you can do that, and you're far enough where she can't reach you to swat you.
Good point. All right, so what you're going to have is one of the hooks here, and at this location we've got one of the hotspots. We could have more hotspots at this location.
Yeah, you can have as many of the hotspots that you want to have configured. This will just, in this type of configuration, like I said, this is for a small business. So we've got this configured where it's pretty much plug and play. We will have a simple, quick setup guide to show everybody how to connect the proper wires, turn it on, let it synchronize and set everything up, turn the radios on, and then you can use it for a full day shift. The real nice thing about this is you don't have to get any licenses because it's on either 5 gig or 2.4 gig. And the hands-free full duplex becomes very helpful, especially if you're in a retail environment, you're stocking the shelves, things like that. You can either do an all call or you can do to a specific call because we've got it set up.
All TG.
Yeah, right now it's all TG is all talk groups. But I can set it up for, I can configure it so it's front of the restaurant, like the hostess, the wait staff, the people that clean off the tables, and the kitchen. You can notify everybody in the All Talk group by saying, hey, we just had a school bus full of kids. We need to get ready, drop the fries, whatever you need to do like that in a restaurant-type environment. But then the clear button, the CLR, it has a like a phone book on it. And then you use the up-down button to figure out if you want to talk the talk group or if you want to go to an individual. You hit enter, and then you can select one of the four radios, one, two, three, or four.
Which radio are you on? I'm on number two.
You're on number two, so I can go to number two, enter, and then only go to number two, and it should say what number on your radio that
radio
I am.
Four.
And I'm on radio four.
Okay.
And you heard the double beep that let me know that I connected to that radio.
And so multiple conversations could be going on between these radios all at the same time. And since they're on Wi-Fi, there's no interference.
That is correct. Not only no interference, but you have a level of security because you not only have security for the radios to the network, we've got WPA2, so it's the enterprise-type system, and you also have your encryption from radio to radio.
Okay, great. Well, we appreciate you telling us about this, Ray. Any final things you can think about it that we didn't cover?
The only other thing is let's walk around and test it here.
Okay. I'm going to take one and go back inside the Ham Fest there.
I'm going in the entrance, and I'm standing here in front of the Civil Air Patrol booth. They've got a nice flight simulator there that, I don't know, I'm a little nervous to step up in front of it this week, right?
Well, I can see you're about a good 25 feet away from me in that, but so with the glass and the doors, we probably won't have any problems with the Wi-Fi penetrating even further into the building.
Okay, I've gone much further into the building now, and I'm looking at some old antenna tuners, some homemade ones as well. And I've been looking at an ICOM radio over here that, boy, it's tugging at my wallet. I already have a 7700. But there's a very clean one here that I would like to add to my collection.
Yeah, I know exactly where you are, George. You're almost at the far, far wall at this point, aren't you? And I'm still keying. Okay. I'm still keying down the radio so we can talk at the same time.
Yeah, I'm at the very back of it here, and I'm still keying down, and I'm all the way to the back door.
Okay. I'll get Tommy to swing the camera around so people can see where we are right now.
Wave your hand so I can see where you are on the camera.
Okay. Do I need to stand on the table back here?
I think I got you now.
And then okay. I can join in on the conversation as well. I can't remember if I'm on talk group all or if I'm still talking only to you, George.
Can you hear us?
I hear everybody.
Okay, so so it reverted back to the talk group all after we made that individual call. So that's what you want a radio system to do when your default is talk group all.
Yeah, these hams are looking funny at me in here because I don't have an antenna on my radio.
Ray, we appreciate you bringing this kit with you and showing us what's going on with the IP radios and this new small business kit that you've got going now. So you got it all packed up now and ready to go?
Yes, sir, I do. And I've got it where I can latch it quickly and run if I need to.
Show me. So this could be deployed now without any programming or anything, correct?
That is correct. It won't be in this case when we go to sell it. This is just easy for me to carry. And like I said, the bright yellow makes it where I can spot it quickly. It doesn't blend in with all the other black cases.
We'll see you later.
All right, George, you know how in all the movies nowadays, after all the credits are running, there's this little teaser about what's coming next? I will be sending you one of our 7760s, and we're going to have a, what do we call it down, a smackdown? Yeah. We'll have a smackdown with that 7700.
Yeah. You know, I feel like I am probably going to win the weight class with the 7700, but I haven't seen the 7760 in person, so I don't know. But, yeah, it's a shame that I own the 7700, so Tommy will take the 7760, I guess, for this event.
So how are we going to do this? Because the 7760, the body can mount in your rack because it is a 19-inch radio, but you can't remove the head off your 7700 like the 7760 will be right there in front of Tommy and I, nice, small, compact. You're going to have to keep going to your rack to make a change on your 7700.
Well, I am, unless I run the software, but... And that works, and that's nice, and I have done it, but it's not the same as having the real control surface in your hands.
Yes, sir. So see you all next time.
Looking forward to that smackdown.
Yeah, me too. You know, I'm not sure we've got a big enough table for that smackdown.
No. Might have to go back and get the Coliseum.
Yeah, rent out the Coliseum to do it.
Yeah.
George, I'm just going to say right now, it's been nice working with you for when you go ahead and interrupt your wife in full duplex.
Yeah. Like I could pull that off successfully.
And she'd figure out how to whack you.
Oh, yeah.
She could if she wanted to.
Yep. That's a nice radio setup. We saw an earlier version of that a few years ago.
Yeah, I did a segment on it.
But this one's been packaged especially for small business. And it's neat. Really neat.
Also,
I've got an actual email as well. That makes two emails tonight. If you count him, it's three. This came from our friend Ken Nowinski, W3CRH. And Ken said, at first glance, when he looked at this ad, he thought it was something that Mike would make up. The model number is scary. That's a TE666.
What?
I wonder when this came out, or is this a joke? That's the 1962 Lafayette Electronics catalog, the Family Radiation Survival Set. Measures radiation fallout, tells you when it's safe to leave the shelter. My question is, how are you going to get those out there to see if it's safe without leaving the shelter?
That's a good point.
But,
and who puts a bottle number like that?
That's true. But just look at the value there. That for only $24.95, you can protect your family against nuclear radiation. It's cheaper than a 9-transistor radio.
By a dollar and a bit.
Yeah. And it's also cheaper than a walkie-talkie that I think has one channel in it. Maybe it's got more. That's a pretty good value for the money there, Tommy.
Yep, it is. I think I'm going to order one.
I wonder how many people are still in their shelters waiting for the Lafayette. Yeah. Detective,
tell him to come out. Probably wait for it to show up in the mail.
Yeah, you'll have to travel back a number of decades to actually place your order.
Yeah.
And if you do it through the Postal Service, it may never reach them.
Oh, my Lord.
Good point.
Email. Set it up for us, man.
All right. So, every year, twice a year, once in the summer, once in the winter, the Whiskey 5 Sierra Lima Alpha Club gets together and has their winter field day, and we always like to get out in the field. Well, this year, there was actually a winter, and we did get out in the field. Check it out.
Welcome to the Ozone Amateur Radio Club's ECC, Emergency Communication Center, W5SLA, for winter field day. We'll be operating as Whiskey 5 Sierra Lima Alpha, India 4 Lima Alpha, I believe, is going to be our exchange for this this field day. Got some stuff setting up. We're in setup mode here, out in the field. Got the testing RV from Steve and crew. Mike's setting up his Delta Loop from Chameleon. And we got some... what y'all enrolling there, buddy? Coax? Nice. The antenna... the cable's cold. Got some field stations. The testing center. It is vertical. Go take a look at that vertical. Nice. Gotta love that.
Where's 50 feet from me?
50 feet? Nice. Look at that. I gotta watch I don't mess up the clips like I did last time.
trying to figure out.
Cool. I love that battery pack, man.
Trying to figure
what?
Out.
Wait, what is that? We're just gonna. That we are. There's some new blood.
It's a 17 foot whip. It's about 70 bucks.
Whiskey 5, Sierra Lima Alpha. QSL, we are 6 India Lima Alpha. We are 6 India Lima Alpha.
Whiskey
5, Sierra Lima Alpha.
Whiskey 5, Sierra Lima Alpha. Hope you like my radio voice there. Get a little bored. I got you. I am a 1 Alpha, Mike Alpha. What's your class and section?
I copy the 1 Alpha, Mike Alpha. Please copy 6 India, Lima Alpha, Louisiana. 6 India, Lima Alpha. And that radio voice sounds nice.
Roger that. Hey, thanks for the contact. Louisiana is the first one for me. So moving on. 7-3, bud. Have a great one.
7-3.
Something is wrong. Anna, what is it? Anna, what is it, girl? What is that coming from the sky? These are the smart ones over here. Lord. That's some serious snow right there. Thank you.
Serious? No, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't... Like I said, Mike, it's relative compared to your experiences, but that is some serious stuff for
us.
That's
a blizzard for us, man.
Yep. Especially for down where Emil is.
Yep.
I kind of had to do a double take for your winter field day. There wasn't a single hand there in shorts. They all had jackets and sweaters on.
Oh, yeah. And I got to hand it to the crew this year. Some of those tables, I don't know if y'all noticed. I know we go through it really quick, but some of those tables, they had the entire gamut, HF through UHF, every digital mode you could think of, and they were hitting the local repeaters and the local digis with the HTs. I mean, these guys, they're starting to get their act together, which is great to see. We always have a learning topic, right? A thing to do to talk and get us together. And this year we had a very interesting conversation about GPS and tracking each other offline. No dependence on maps, Google Maps, whatever maps. We wanted to see what software is available out there offline completely that we can watch each other in our area and find out tactically what's going on. So we came up with some pretty good things. And you know, getting out there in that field really teaches you what it really takes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you did mention to them that, you know, it's not legal to use a repeater for field day.
Yes.
I assume.
Yes. Yeah. We were definitely, you know, focused on the HF side of things and seeing where we can hit. And I got to hand it to those Delta Loops. I know the guy in Kentucky, too, that we were talking about earlier from his post. They had the exact same antenna from Chameleon. That thing really works well. I know the bands are in good shape right now, but that thing just works.
Cool. So no Glenn Tenna this year? Or for the
No Glenn Tenna this year. Glenn was with us this year, but no Glenn Tenna out in the field. I was walking from station to station to really see what other people were doing this year, which is always great to see. Yeah. Mike and Nick. Those two sitting right next to each other, our club's president and his brother, man, they got their act together. They got the bug. They got the bug about maybe 3 or 4 years ago now. But I remember when they first sat in our HF room in the back listening to what we were doing. They definitely got the bug, and they're all over it.
Cool. That's what you want, man. That's the biggest reason to do that. I mean, yeah, all the rehearsal for emergencies and stuff, that's nice. But if you can set a fire under some new guys, that's a good way to do it.
Can't go wrong there.
Yep. Chip just mentioned, by the way, that, and I knew it had been about a year. I didn't know it was today, but a year ago today, Bob Heil, K9EID, became a silent key. So we remember Bob fondly and think about him often. Good friend.
Salute.
Tommy, I know this is the last day of February, and we've kind of done the whole Christmas 2024 thing already.
Yeah.
You know, it's come and gone, but I got a package in the mail. Well, it's been a little while now because you weren't here last episode. That one right there, it came from Canadian Post.
Canada.
Which got delayed because of some issues up there. A strike, yeah. If you had shipped it, if you were the 51st state and shipped it through the U.S. Postal Service, it would have been even later.
It probably wouldn't even be here yet. If it even made it at all.
I know people used to like to hate on U.S. Parcel Service, but I've always had really good luck with them. In fact, when I have a choice ordering something from the U.S., and I have a choice of USPS, I always say, yeah, send it USPS, please.
Now, UPS, but USPS, well, good.
Not in Jackson.
No. Actually, there was this thing on the news about that where there's boxes and boxes of stuff. Matter of fact, I've had Amazon packages that say got lost in the mail that made it to Jackson but never left. I guarantee you I've got probably 5 or 6 packages sitting over there.
Yeah, probably do. You got your blade with you, Tommy?
I do.
And this This came from Mike, of course, and it is untouched by human hands. Well, by these human hands. We're about to open it up and see what Christmas goodies Mike sent us this year.
Not necessarily squirrel claws.
No. Not necessarily. Drum roll.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a packing slip.
Yes.
Oh, cool. Here.
Okay.
Stuff in here.
Wow, two internet synchronized NTP Wi-Fi clock with alarm and smartphone app control.
What?
Oh man, you shouldn't have.
Canada, that's almost a twister.
Raspberry Pi RP2040,
oh, cool.
Compatible with the Raspberry Pi Pico.
Awesome.
See, there is an ESP32C6 dev kit, version 1.2, 8 megabytes of SPI flash, Wi-Fi 6 plus Bluetooth low energy. Wow.
That must be the ESP32.
That looks like it. Yeah, I don't know if you can see it through the foil, but I'm sure that's what that is. Wow.
Awesome, man. Thank you, Mike.
Problem. I figured that might keep you off the streets for a little bit anyway.
And there's also a Kinect Arduino RP2040 PLC100V1 for the RP2040.
There should be two of those. Very similar. One uses the RP2040, and the other one uses the ESP32 controller on it.
Oh,
cool.
Pick your poison.
Awesome. Very cool. Thank you, man. That's really awesome.
So these... Wow, what's all on that thing? A number of relays. What?
I think it's got eight relays, so 8 digital outputs, and I forget how many analog outputs and inputs are on there. But the guy that runs the company, he came to Canada, I don't know how many years ago, but he started out in Saskatchewan, and he relocated to Ontario and to my old stompy grounds. I guess it's been about 2 years now, and he is responsible for some of the design for the Canduino products. Those are kind of exclusive to his company, Universal Solder. And I've been dealing with him for, it's got to be 5 or 6 years now. And he ships really fast. And he's got all kinds of information on his website where you can download sample files and so forth. I thought those clocks were pretty cool.
That is, man. You must have spent a fortune on all this stuff.
They connect to NTP via the internet, which normally, I guess, you would... with you being in your Faraday cage there, the atomic clocks probably don't work so well inside your studio.
No.
So
that's pretty cool, man.
Very cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a bunch. Now we can have a nice Canadian Christmas right here down south.
Yeah. Should have put some of that snow in here.
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't told you. Since I've been away, I think in total accumulation, it's probably about four feet of snow.
Oh wow!
You picked a good time to leave.
My son's kind of holding down the fort, and he sent me a picture of the front walkway, and he holds the shovel handle up to with a typical shovel handle, five to 6 feet long.
Probably
where he's had to pile the snow up. Off the walk, it's higher than the snow, the handle on the snow shovel. So,
if you enjoyed tonight's show, if you look right down there at the bottom of the screen on YouTube, there's some buttons for share that you could click and get a link to share this with some of your friends. Or we don't care if you share it with your enemies as well. The more the merrier.
Sure.
There's also a subscribe button down there and a like button. We'd be honored if you'd click on some of those, like the video, or subscribe, and then you'll know when we release something else.
All the cool people are subscribing.
The majority of them. So, just about every one of them is cool.
Maybe join the rest of the cool crowd. Show how cool you are.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to Chip, K9MIT, for the use of the shirt.
Yes. You know, what if you didn't know Chip? He didn't send you a shirt. And it's been kind of cold the past week.
If you're without a shirt, I could nuke you up. Go straight right now to shop.spreadshirt.com/amateur logic. Get yourself one, please.
Yeah, by all means. Yeah, you know, there's Annette here that's kind of associated with Amateur Logic. It was really the Amateur Logic Soundcheck net originally.
Yeah.
But that net discontinued, and our friend Tom Apolinik said, hey, let's start doing the net again. And so once a month now, there is a Logic net.
Yep.
And there's just one this past Tuesday night.
Fourth Tuesday of the month. It's usually after the show, but this time the show's after the net. But
yeah.
But it's a lot of fun. I wasn't able to check in this time because of work, but I don't know. Was there good check-ins?
They had a fair amount. It wasn't a banner net, but there were a good many people there, and there's a lot of international check-ins on there.
Yeah, I guarantee you everyone there had a great time.
People from the U.S., Canada, Canadian. Australia, the U.K., South Africa. So people from all over. And, you know, it's just a fun time. There's so many different modes you can check in with. And you can check in multiple times to test out all your radios, all your hotspots, whatever you got. If you want to keep up with what's going on socially, and let's face it, why wouldn't you? You can join us at one of our social media outlets there, facebook.com/group/amateurlogic.tv.
We're also on Twitter. Follow us at Amateur Logic or X or whatever it's called this week.
Mm-hmm. Or?
groups.io/g/amateurlogic.
Okay. And if you want show notes, figure out what we did at any particular time, because people email us occasionally, hey, when did you guys talk about this particular topic? There's a place you can go find that.
Yep, amateurlogic.tv/wiki. I know the guy that does that.
You know him pretty well.
Pretty close.
Yep.
Relation?
Yeah, pretty close. We're like that. Yep. We're like that.
And if you'd like to watch Amateur Logic, well,
and let's face it, who wouldn't?
Yeah,
if
you're seeing this, you probably have watched it. But there's a bunch of different ways you can do it, you know. As was mentioned earlier tonight by Dennis, he likes to watch on Roku.
Yeah, a lot of people do.
It may be the only amateur radio show on Roku.
I wouldn't be surprised.
You can also watch us, of course, on YouTube, or you can download the episodes at amateurlogic.tv.
We're also on Amazon TV, Fire Stick, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm. Give us another place you could watch Amateur Logic, Emil. See how
on the internet.
On the internet, yes.
Nice save, Emil. Nice save.
Okay, Mike, give us another one.
Well, you can listen to Amateur Logic on Spotify even.
You can.
In your car. You don't want to watch Amateur Logic while you're driving, but you can listen to the episodes on Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can also get it on iTunes.
Yeah. If you call it iTunes this week.
We have
Apple,
whatever.
Apple Podcasts.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know what they're calling it anymore.
Or archive.org.
Yeah, archive.org. That's a great place.
Yep. So, don't
we're
say you haven't.
We're everywhere.
Yeah, don't say you haven't been warned. There's there's a lot of different ways you can watch it, and we appreciate each and every view we get. Well, thanks for being here with us tonight, everyone. We've really enjoyed it. Before we get out of here, I just want to say we'll be back. Oh, when is the next
next week?
Ham College? Is it next week? It may be. Remember what I was saying about all those social media areas earlier?
I remember.
Yep. You can find out when we're going to be back by visiting one of those. We'll be posting it there. That's all I got, Tommy.
That's plenty.
You're mighty quick on that.
I don't have too much to add. It's been a fun show. And anyway, looking forward to the next one.
Laissez le bon temps rouler. Let the good time roll. Happy Mardi Gras, everybody, from down south. And looking forward to the next time. It's really great checking in those on those nets, too, the Logic Net. I had a great time the other night just listening to what other people from all over the world say, do, and enjoy in this hobby. And that's it.
Mike.
Well, I'm not looking forward to going home after enjoying the high 70, low 80s temperatures. I know back home it's been, I think there was one day where it got above freezing, and that's it. So,
wow.
Back to reality in another week or so.
Okay. Well, I know you've bound to have had a good time because you've been in a very good climate. It's even been cold around here some. And yeah. The next day, kind of warm.
Yeah. It was really nice today, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was. All right. 7-3, everyone.
7-3, everybody. We'll see you next week. Some of you next week.
Hey, Emil, I gotta ask. What's hanging around your neck?
It's Mardi Gras down here. Laissez le bon temps rouler.
Yes, let the good times roll.
Yep.
And what do you have to do to earn those big balls?
I can't discuss that on this family show. There's one. There's another one.
Wow.
It's not going to focus on the stuff, but it's like a planetarium out here.